Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to this episode of Making Shifts Happen with Dr. Stephanie Stanfield. Are you searching for answers beyond diet and exercise? Join us as Dr. Steph shares insightful tips you can use to feel better right now and valuable information about your health that you may not know. It's all served up with a healthy dose of smiles and laughter along the way. Now, here's Dr. Steph.
Hello, it's Dr. Stephanie Stanfield, and welcome to the 45th episode of Making Shifts Happen, where we're inspiring, informing, and motivating you to succeed with creating your optimal healing and improving your health and wellness. For those of you joining us live here on Blog Talk Radio, it's great to have you with us. If you're joining us through a podcast on your smartphone, tablet, computer, or Wi-Fi radio, a very special welcome to you as well. These podcasts are designed to bring you leading-edge information about a variety of health topics. My team and I are dedicated to bringing you valuable information so you can learn about what you can do to improve your health and start living an increasingly purposeful life. We are here every Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Mountain Time. So plan on joining us each week. Today we have a very interesting subject, awesome article, and I thought I knew a lot about the brain and how the brain works, but I saw this article, 10 Surprising Facts About the Brain, and I learned something. I learned something new. I love it when I learn something new. So let's start with a quote. And I like this quote. The author happens to be unknown. The quote is, "When the past calls, let it go to voicemail. Believe me, it has nothing new to say." So that's what we're going to start with today. I thought I knew some things from the past. It called me. It asked me a lot of questions about this article I was reading. And I let it go to voicemail. So the article was sent to me through one of the associations that I belong, the Association of Comprehensive Energy Psychology, or ASEP. And this is in Buffer Social. And it's by Bell, B-E-L-L-E, Beth Cooper. It was written September 12, 2013, so it's been around for a while. I just happened to come across it through a recommendation of the association that I'm a member, of which I'm a member. So, she says, one of the things that surprises me time and time again is how we think how our brains work and how they actually do. So this was a first glimpse into the fact that I might learn something new, something that I didn't know about. She said, for example, I always found it fairly understandable that women, especially, can multitask. But according to the latest research studies, it's literally impossible for our brains to handle two tasks at the same time. This was news to me. I was taught that because of a thicker corpus callosum, or the membrane between the two hemispheres of the brain, women could actually multitask, and men having a thinner corpus callosum couldn't multitask. I may have even talked about this in an earlier Blog Talk Radio. Well, I'm having to redo some of the ways I approach things, and I have to look at some of the information I've been giving to people. Because according to this, it's not true. So, your brain, the first thing that she talks about, one of the most surprising things our brain does, is your brain does creative work better when you're tired. Let me repeat that again. This went up against some of my beliefs as well. Your brain does creative work better when you're tired. She says, here's how it breaks down. When you look at your circadian rhythm or your body clocks, if you're a morning person, you'll want to favor those morning hours when you're feeling more fresh to get your demanding analytic work done. Using your brain to solve problems, answer questions, and make decisions is best done when you're at your peak. So if you're a morning person, do the most demanding things in the morning and put off your creativity or schedule it for later in the day when you might be a little bit more tired. For night owls, of which I'm one, this is a later period in the day. On the other hand, if you're doing creative work, you actually have more luck when you're tired and your brain isn't functioning as efficiently. Well, this sounds crazy, but it actually makes sense when you look at the reasoning behind it. This is one of the reasons that some great ideas often happen in the shower after a long day of work. When you're tired, your brain is not as good at filtering out distractions and focusing on a particular task. So the Scientific American article that she references, I don't know the name or the author or the journal, but she cites this. Insight problems involve thinking outside of the box. This is where susceptibility to distraction can be a benefit. At off-peak times, we are less focused and may consider a broader range of information. This wider scope, access to more alternatives and diverse interpretations, thus fostering innovation and insight. So sometimes when you're settling in to go to sleep at night and you're feeling really tired, this might be the time for you to write down some of those insights. Take an action step and include it in this. When you understand how your brain works, you're working in more harmony with your brain instead of against the natural functioning that your brain gives to you. This reduces your stress. It creates healthier brains. You grow your brain in different ways. So let's consider that. This is another factor that I knew. I just hadn't looked at it in the way that Bell does. Stress can change the size of your brain and actually make it smaller. She says, Bell says, I bet you didn't know stress is actually the most common cause of changes in brain functioning. I was surprised to find this out when I looked into how stress affects our brain. So there was a study. Again, she doesn't cite it, and so I can't help you figure out where the study is. But they did a test on stress development and long-term mental health, and they took monkeys and they separated half from their mother and half remained with their mother. The other half, the first half that was separated, was raised by peers. For the monkeys who had been removed from their mothers and cared for by their peers, areas of the brains that were related to stress were still enlarged in their normal conditions for several months. It's pretty scary, she says, to think that prolonged stress can affect our brains long term. Another study, again, you're hearing now and seeing as much as she gives me, found that in rats who were exposed to chronic stress, the hippocampus in their brains actually shrank. So I'd like for you to imagine a picture of your brain. The hippocampus is integral in forming memories. It's been debated before whether or not post-traumatic stress disorder can actually shrink the hippocampus. Or for people with naturally smaller hippocampus, hippocampi, I think is what she misspells it here, are just more prone to PTSD. This study could actually point to stress being a factor in changing the brain. So imagine your brain, and she has the stress brain loop. And this, again, is just one of the many functions that stress negatively influences. We're just looking at this in regards to the hippocampus. Chronic stress fosters inadequate sleep, poor nutrition, emotional distress. So chronic stress increases glucocorticoids, cellular changes happen in the hippocampus. As a result, you have decreased regulation of cortisol, which increases the production of glucocorticoids, which cellular changes happen in the hippocampus. So it's this interesting feedback loop of the condition creating even more negative conditions where the condition now becomes more prevalent. As a result, you have decreased attention, decreased perception, decreased short-term memory, decreased learning, and decreased word finding. And this is there's a copyright for Women to Women in the lower right-hand corner of this picture. This third one was eye-opening for me. It is literally impossible for our brains to multitask. Multitasking is something we've been encouraged to practice, but it turns out it's actually impossible. When we think we're multitasking, we're actually context switching. So we're switching back and forth between different tasks rather than doing them at the same time. Now, the rapidity in which that happens might be a factor in why we think we're multitasking, when in reality, it's back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, very, very rapidly. Research shows the book Brain Rules determines how detrimental multitasking can be with this statement. Research shows your error rate goes up 50%, and it takes you twice as long to do things. The problem with multitasking is we're splitting our brain's resources. We're giving less attention to each task. And we're probably performing worse on all of them. So when the brain tries to do two things at once, it divides and conquers, dedicating one half of our brain to each task. And there's this great picture, I wish I could show it to you, of how the brain shifts, going back and forth and moving in between areas of the brain. And it's actually doing it very quickly, not simultaneously. So the prefrontal cortex plays a big part. The anterior, or the front part of the brain region, forms the goal or intention. For example, I want that cookie. And the posterior prefrontal cortex, or the back of the prefrontal cortex, talks to the rest of the brain so that your hand reaches towards the cookie jar, and your mind then knows whether or not you have a cookie. A study in Paris found that when the second task was acquired, the brains of the study volunteers actually split up, with each hemisphere working alone on the task. The brain was overloaded by the second task and couldn't perform its full capacity. So triple task jugglers constantly forget one of their tasks. They also make three times as many errors as they made when they were dual tasking. So multitasking implies that you're doing more than one thing. She talks about even just doing two things, creating this dynamic of a split brain. This one I love. Naps improve your brain's day-to-day performance. While we're very clear on how important sleep is for our brain, we've never really talked about naps, and they can actually be really useful. Napping helps improve memory. Much to the surprise of researchers, the sleep group performed significantly better, retaining on the average 85% of the patterns, compared to 60% for those who had remained awake. Apparently, napping actually helps our brain solidify memories. And it talks about when a memory is first recorded in the brain, in the hippocampus, we talked about that one earlier, it's still fragile and easily forgotten, especially if the brain is asked to memorize more things. Pushes memories to the neocortex, brain's more permanent storage, preventing them from being overwritten. So if you've been studying for a test and you want to remember the information, guess what? One of the other benefits of napping is better learning. This is because it takes the information out of the temporary storage and moves it into the more public or more permanent storage. During the nap, the brain finds the right side of the brain is far more active during a nap than the left, which stays fairly quiet. So the brain actually handles housekeeping duties while we're asleep. So while the left side of your brain takes some time off to relax, the right side is clearing out your temporary storage areas, pushing the information into long-term storage. Your vision, number five. Your vision trumps all other senses. Hear a piece of information, and 3 days later, you'll remember 10% of it. add a picture and you'll remember 65% of it. We have five more interesting facts and surprising facts about the brain. We'll be back right after this break to discuss them and let you decide whether this was something you knew, something you didn't know, or something that's important to you and you want to listen to the show a couple of more times so that you get the information you clearly need. I'd like to remind you that the Calm Moms free report is no longer, the audio part is no longer available. And I hope that you join me on the Calm Moms webinar and see what all this program has to offer for you. Be right back after this message.
Stress is so common in our fast-paced society right now, we don't realize how much it depletes us and how much time and energy we spend just trying to get through our day. What if you knew ways to manage your stress and your energy so that you would have more energy at the end of every day? Did you know that with a little help and information on the Calm Moms free report, you can begin relieving your stress? Start feeling more peaceful right away. Get your life back on track and become more efficient with your time and time management. Relieve pain. And this is important for moms and their children. Have fewer doctor visits and suffer less from illness. You can sign up for this Calm Moms free report on www.makingshiftshappen.com/calm-moms-free-report. Go to Making Shifts Happen right now and register for this life-changing free report. Remember, this life-enhancing report is absolutely free. And as a special bonus, if you act right now, you'll be sent an audio of the main tips to remind you of how to be peaceful and calm. This Calm Moms free report in audio is a limited time offer, so act right now to get your special bonus.
And we're back. Thank you so much for staying with us. Let's remember the first five of the 10 surprising facts about your brain. First, your brain does creative work better when you're tired. The second is stress can change the size of your brain and even make it smaller. Third, it is literally impossible for our brains to multitask or even dual task. Fourth, naps improve your brain's day-to-day performance. I think I just need to go slide off and take a nap. And fifth, your vision trumps all other senses. And we were just starting to explore this when we got interrupted with the commercial. It says, vision is so powerful that the best wine tasters in the world have been known to describe a dyed white wine as being a red wine. They relied on their sight more than their smell and their taste. And it's not surprising that we rely on our vision so much, but according to Bell, she says it's actually not even that good. Our brain has to guess at much of the picture, and our brain is doing all this guessing because it doesn't know where things are. In a three-dimensional world, the light actually falls on our retina two-dimensional fashion. So our brain has to approximate the viewable image, and this is why the visual cortex takes so much activity and moves through so much of the brain. It's accessing and trying to create the third dimension based on the two-dimensional information the eyes are bringing to it. Number six was pretty interesting. Introversion and extroversion come from different wiring in the brain. There's a difference in the brain of introverted and extroverted people in terms of how rewards are processed and how genetic makeup differs. For extroverts, their brains respond more strongly when a gamble pays off. Part of this is simply genetic, but partly it's the difference in their dopamine systems as well. I won't get into all of the technical information on this, but a longer introvert acetylcholine pathway is a different wiring, and introverts have a longer pathway, so they process stimulations through different pathways than extroverts. Extroverts have a shorter dopamine pathway, and so they're processing information in different ways. So extroverts tend to be more risk takers, and introverts tend to want things to be a little bit more safe. The stimuli for introverts runs through a long, complicated pathways in the area of the brain associated with remembering, planning, and solving problems. So they're wired differently. It's not just a personality aspect. Number 7, we tend to like people who make mistakes more. Apparently, making mistakes makes us more likable. So messing up draws people closer to you and makes you more human. Perfection creates distance and an unattractive air of invincibility. Those of us with flaws win out every time. So Elliot Aronson tested, he was a psychologist, and he asked participants to listen to recordings of people answering a quiz. Select recordings included the sound of a person knocking over a cup of coffee. The coffee spilt group came out on top most often. So let me go find a cup of coffee, I'll spill it, and maybe I'll appear to be more likable. This is the one that caught my attention because I'm teaching meditation, and I actually have meditation and guided imagery series up on Amazon. Meditation can rewire your brain for the better. Less anxiety, more creativity, better memory. And meditation has also been linked to increasing compassion, decreasing stress, improving memory skills, and even increasing the amount of gray matter in the brain. Exercise, number 9. Exercise can reorganize the brain and boost your willpower. It says a lifetime of exercise can result in a sometimes astonishing elevation in cognitive performance compared with those who are sedentary. Exercisers outperform couch potatoes in tests that measure long-term memory, reasoning, attention, problem-solving, and even so-called fluid intelligence task. One of the things that's interesting is if you start exercising, your brain recognizes this as a moment of stress. As your heart pressure increases, the brain thinks you are fighting an enemy or flighting from it. So you produce a protein called BDNF, brain-derived neurotrophic factor. This has a protective and reparative element in your memory neurons and acts as a reset switch. Also, you're producing endorphins. So we're often at ease and things are clear after exercising. And number 10, and this has to do with a concept of time that we've talked about in some of our previous episodes. Your brain, you can make your brain think time is going more slowly by doing new things. According to Bell, when our brains receive new information, it doesn't necessarily come in the proper order. This information needs to be reorganized and presented to us in a form we understand. When familiar information is processed, though, this doesn't take much time at all. New information, however, is a bit slower and makes time feel a little bit more elongated. So she has a picture of the brain and the sections associated with touch, taste, vision, hearing, and smell. And when we receive new information, it takes a longer period of time for our brain to process all that. So when we're in a life-threatening situation, we remember the time is longer because we record more of the experience. However, if our brain doesn't have to process lots of new information, time seems to move faster, so the amount of time will actually feel shorter than it does. And this happens when you take in lots of information that's familiar because you've processed it before. Your brain doesn't have to work very hard, so it processes time as going much faster. I hope you enjoyed this 10 surprising facts about your brain. In there, I am hearing some things that you can do, some action steps. So if we come back to number one of the things that you can do is organize your day a little bit more differently. Do your hard, demanding tasks when you're fresher, and your creativity when you're a little bit more tired. Number two, stress changes the size of your brain. So one of the things that okay, I think I got bumped off. So I'm going to send my cell phone for a nap. Naps improve your brain's day-to-day activity. Number five, your vision trumps all other senses. So one of the things that I think I'll do is to remember to look at a picture or image a picture if I'm just hearing words. That way it helps me remember it a little bit more. Introversion and extroversion come from different wiring in the brain. So I will be a little bit more tolerant of the way my brain processes information. We tend to like people who make mistakes more. Well, as you've heard, sometimes I've mispronounced words. I've had to restart again. I must be very, very likable. Meditation can rewire your brain for the better. So I'm going to be off to nap and meditate. And exercise reorganizes your brain and boosts your willpower. Simply the fact of putting on your shoes sometimes can increase your hardiness and your sense of willpower. And 10 things you can do to make your brain think time is going more slowly by doing new things. That's all for today's show. I've got a quote that I really kind of like. It is only those who do not know how to work that do not love it. To those who do, work is better than play. I found that very, very interesting. Because if you enjoy what you do, you'll never work a day in your life. So find something you enjoy. Find something that engages your brain, that brings you different types of stimulation, that might allow you to schedule your day in ways that promote a hearty brain instead of a stress brain. Let's see. What tool can I use every day? Well, I think you heard it. Meditation. And a nap. Ooh, how does it get any better than this? I'm off to go visit with some friends of mine. I'm going to have a great afternoon, and I just want to thank you so much for joining me. I hope you enjoyed today's episode, and remember, if you have any questions or suggestions, you can email at info@makingshiftshappen.com. Thank you so much for joining us on today's show.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Making Shifts Happen with Dr. Stephanie Stanfield. To learn more or to reach out to Dr. Steph, please visit makingshiftshappen.com and join us again next time.